The NFL draft is coming up, and we are trying to get as many draft prospects on this show as we possibly can. I have found another one. He is a former offensive tackle from Iowa. He was a Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year. He was a first-team All-Big Ten player. He was an All-American, a Class 2A Offensive Lineman of the Year at Mount Vernon High School. Multiple state championships in the shot put and the discus. He was a state wrestling champion his senior year. Not a bad resume. 2020 NFL Draft gets underway on April 23rd. Tristan Wirfs is my guest. Tristan, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So I mentioned off the very top that you played your high school ball at Mount Vernon High School. Let me start right there. Mount Vernon, Iowa. Mount Vernon's got a population of about 4,500 people. What was life like for you growing up there?
You know, I love being in Mount Vernon, you know, with a small community. Life there was pretty much just sports year round, you know, going from each sport, you know, with all your buddies. You know, when I was a kid, I'd go to the pool. I lived a block from the pool. I was there every day, all day with my friends. You know, we'd be at the pool, go to baseball practice when we were kids. I can't count on my fingers how many times we rode our bikes all the way around town. But, you know, I loved growing up there.
It sounds like a great childhood, actually. Now, because of what you've done at the Combine and in the Iowa weight room, there are some legendary stories about you. For example, there's a story that when you were throwing the discus in high school, you once threw it so far in practice that it went over a fence and landed on a tennis court or in a tennis court where people were playing. Is that story true? And if so, what do you remember about that?
Yeah, that's a true one. It was the end of my junior year when I started throwing it over the fence. And the girls' tennis team always practiced when I was, or, you know, we'd have practice at the same time. And I remember, you know, it went right. I mean, it was kind of a scary story. Like, the disc went right next to the girl's head. And so they're like, okay, we got to figure something out. So I'd have to practice at a different time. You know, I'd practice after they practice. But, my junior year, I started throwing it over a couple times. And my senior year, that's, you know, all senior year, I had to practice at a different time.
Tristan, I've heard a lot of stories. That's one of my favorites. I'm not making light of it. You're right. Like, I'm chuckling, but it's not funny. But the fact that you had to change practice time so you wouldn't hit any of the tennis players with a discus is pretty amazing. There's also a story of you playing football your senior year of high school, and you dropped a ton of weight to wrestle, and you won the state title at 285. Like, how much weight did you lose, and how did you go about losing it?
Yeah, it was just about 40 pounds. Like, I was weighing 325 at the end of my football season. I think that's what I weighed in the first day of wrestling practice. And I think it was like 38 pounds, 37 pounds, something like that. But, you know, I kind of – it was really difficult, you know, right at the beginning, because I went – you know, every year I wrestled was – you know, I could eat whatever I wanted. I could – you know, I was still, like, putting on weight, you know, for football and everything. And then to have to, do a complete, you know, 180 you know, my senior year and try and lose all that weight was pretty difficult. I spent an extra time in the restroom after practice was over, drilling with my coach. You know, I put on, you know, my sweatshirt, my sweatpants and everything, and, you know, keep running. I'd go up, after I was done, there was a little gym right up in the middle of town, close to my house. I'd go up there. I'd be out there on the Aerodyne bike, the assault bike, you know, with my, I'd wear a garbage bag and more sweatshirts and everything. And my mom kind of helped me out too. She made me smoothies in the morning. You know, they were tiny. You know, I couldn't have very much, but, you know, she'd make sure I had, like, the vitamins and nutrients I needed. Just completely changing my diet and trying to sweat as much as I could.
Tristan Wirfs joining us. I'm glad you mentioned your mom. I'm going to ask you about her in a minute. But, dude, how hungry were you at that time?
It was pretty crazy at the beginning. You know, I was really hungry, but once I got down to 285, you know, you kind of get used to it, and it wasn't as bad. But I think I was definitely pretty ornery. You know, I can imagine, you know, my mom dealing with that, you know, because going from, you know, her making me, you know, a ton of food at night, you know, after football practice and everything like that, to you know, I get home and she would, like, bake cookies or something. I would just turn around and leave. I was like, I can't be in the house with cookies and everything. You know, I'm cutting weight
for sure.
But, yeah, I was pretty hungry.
All right, so people around you talk about your work ethic all the time and the type of work you put in. I would ask you where that came from and where the approach came from, but your mom, Sarah, worked very long hours to provide for you and your sister. How much did you learn from your mom in terms of that work ethic and the ability to grind?
Quite a bit. You know, so she's worked at Target for 28 years. And just, you know, growing up, you know, she'd work overnights. You know, she'd get home when we were leaving for school in the morning. You know, some days she'd wake up, you know, at 3-4 a.m. and go in and work through the night and then come home at, you know, 3:30 in the afternoon. So, just all, you know, watching her, you know, grind for all those years. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, her doing that, struggling with bills and then still allowing me, you know, getting me equipment I needed to play sports. You know, like I thought to myself, I was like, why would I make this go to waste? You know, why would I slack off or why would I not, you know, want to be the best in all these sports? Because she's just allowing me to play them, you know.
Tristan Wirfs joining us, no doubt. Now, from the outside, the combine seems like kind of a weird event. Like, you're doing all these drills that aren't exactly football drills, and then you're meeting with teams, and sometimes they're asking you weird questions. What was the overall experience of the combine like for you?
You know, I thought it was pretty fun. It definitely, I think, tough. You know, you have all the psychological exams. You're meeting with all the teams, which, you know, your first couple you're kind of nervous for. But, when, you know, I had quite a few of them. So, the nerves kind of went away when I was meeting with the teams. But, and then getting to go out on the field and you know, do the drill, like the 40, the vertical, the broad jump. Because, you know, it's what you watch when you're growing up. You see all these guys doing those things. And to be out there on the field and you know, actually get to do them was, you know, what I was looking forward to most.
Well, you did extremely well, and people who know you knew that you were going to do something special at the combine. Some of that goes back to what you did in the weight room last March. Before we get into the day itself, there was a tradition and a legacy, of course, of offensive linemen at Iowa. We're talking about the likes of Marshall Yanda, Brian Bulaga, Brandon Scherf. When you're an offensive lineman at Iowa, how much pride is there in upholding and maintaining that great tradition?
I think there's quite a bit of pride. Like, we have this saying, it's called leave the jersey in a better place. So, you know, you're swarming out of the tunnel. You're going out there every Saturday, you know, for all the former Hawks that there've been, you know, especially for offensive linemen. Like, there's so many guys that have upheld that tradition and that legacy. And you just want to, be able to put your name, you know, down in the history books, you know, down in the record books, you know, with those other guys.
All right, so Scherf, back in 2014, he set the 3-rep record for the hang clean. It was an absolutely amazing performance. But last spring, you were putting up some numbers, and the thinking around the program was you could break that mark. 1 week before max out day, you hit 420 for two. How did that feel, and what kind of number did you have in your head going into max out day?
Yeah, so that I still have the video. Coach Doyle, you know, he recorded it for me, and just because he told me, he's like, watch it 100 times, you know, ingrain it into your mind. And he, you know, when I had the 420 on the bar, he just said, do it as fast as you can, move the bar as fast as you can. And like, I stroked the 420 and it, you know, I was feeling really good. And when he sent me that video, I think that's what I did the whole next week. I can't count, you know, how many times I watched the video. And I remember the night before I had a dream about the hang clean. And every time I go to do something big, I always have a dream that I forget how to do it. Like I forgot how to hang clean. But, you know, I came in that day and, you know, all my teammates are like, oh, how much are you going to have? You know, what are you going to do? And, like, I didn't know how much I was going to have, you know, on that max out day. Coach Doyle knew. And I remember going in there and I gave him my card and I looked at it and it only said I had like 435 and he took it and he scratched that out and he wrote 450 and I was like, okay, I guess it's time to go. I'm getting my goosebumps talking about it just because it was so much fun that day. But I remember I put my straps on, went and got my chalk on my hands and I put my belt on and I turned around and like all my teammates were around, you know, the coaches and my teammates were there getting, you know, pumping me up. And I remember I picked the bar off the rack and it felt a lot lighter than 450 that day. I think all the adrenaline and everything. But I remember the first rep, it came up a lot higher than I thought. It almost hit my chin and, you know, I was just feeling good, and I kept going. I knew I needed 3 to break the record because I had, you know, I had a little bit more weight, and I went for 4, and I got it, and I threw the bar down, and I went and celebrated with my teammates.
Hey, just so we're clear about this, you did 450 for four. So you didn't just break the record, you smashed the record. Watching the video, for those who have not seen it, the entire weight room is going crazy. What do you remember about that moment when you celebrated with your teammates? What did that feel like?
I honestly can't like describe the feeling. Like I was just so excited, and to have all my teammates, you know, excited for me. You know, it was a pretty special feeling. I think it kind of represents the bond that we have. You know, we go through so much work throughout the off season. Like I think Iowa has one of the toughest off season programs. But just to do that with all them there and you know, supporting me was pretty awesome.
So the expectation, Tristan, is that your name is going to be called very early in the draft. What do you think it's going to feel like when your name is called and you know where you're going and you're going to be able to take care of your family?
Just like a dream come true. You know, I mean, I think when I was in kindergarten, you know, I knew I wanted to be a football player. And just to finally have that come to fruition is going to be pretty awesome. You know, my mom's worked hard for quite a long time, and, you know, to be able to pay her back and, you know, for all the work she's done, you know, for me and my sister is going to be pretty amazing.
So what do you think she'll do? Will she stop working, or is she not wired to stop working? What's her plan going to be?
You know, I couldn't tell you. I don't know if she could just completely stop working. I don't know if it's in her nature. I think she'd get too bored sitting at home. So hopefully, maybe she'll keep working, but hopefully just not near as much.
Preach. He's a Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year, a first-team All-Big Ten player and All-American. And I ran down a list of the other accolades as well. Big day coming up, the NFL Draft. It is April 23rd, and he will go early. Former Iowa offensive tackle, Tristan Wirfs. Tristan, great to have you on the show. Good luck with that, and I'll look forward to seeing where you end up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you. Another good young man. Great story. Tristan Wirfs, NFL Draft prospect.